Recording in progress.
What a great blessing it is to have this capacity, this media to come together on Wednesday nights. And Brother James mentioned to be together from coast to coast and set our affections upon things above for just a little while. We do beg an interest in your prayers. We appreciate Brother Travis Brown's humble prayer and cherish the fellowship we have with each and every one of you. Some we haven't met in person in our lifetime, but we trust that we will. Some of you we may not meet until the day of the resurrection. We appreciate Brother James' kind comments and his leadership for this Zoom service every Wednesday night. We do beg an interest in your prayer the time that we stand or sit before you this evening. Today, of course, is September 20th, and it's somewhat of a difficult day in my life. I'm a very emotional person. Brother Robin Nettles, who was a deacon at Union Church for many, many years, used to tell us to never be ashamed of honest tears. One young member of the church at Union asked me not long ago after I finished making an effort to preach on Sunday morning, said, "Brother Mickey, why do you cry every time you preach?" Told her it's primarily because I know the sinner that I am. But I believe in the depths of my heart that I'm a blood-bought heir of Jesus Christ. And that part of the elect family of God. And we do beg an issue in your prayer this evening, the time we stand before you. I mentioned September 20th. Elder Luke Addison, secretary in the transportation office here in the Lincoln County Schools, been one of my friends for many, many years. She lost her husband on September 20th, 2005. One of my favorite members of our family, my Uncle Bud Simmons. He didn't actually die until September, the early hours of September 21st. But on September 20th, near bedtime, he called his precious wife, my mom's sister, to his bedside and asked her to pray with him. And he prayed a very simple prayer that we've all heard at some point. "Now I lay me down to sleep, and I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." He died not long after midnight that evening. On September 20th of 1981, my precious maternal grandmother passed away with heart ailment and went to that upper and better kingdom, leave their soul and spirit dead. On September 19th of 2002, I got a phone call late that afternoon that my precious wife, they found a suspicious spot on her liver and wanted us to come to Ochsner Foundation Hospital near New Orleans the next day. We got our baby child to the daycare center, our other two to school, and this is we crossed the intersection there of Highway 51 and Bogachuta Road. The car coming across to deliver her children to school was a local mortician. And my wife said I could have gone all day without seeing her. We got down near Kentwood, Louisiana on I-55 going south toward New Orleans. There's a delivery truck that came off the on ramp on I-55 for a pizza company, and on the truck it was painted, "What do you want on your tombstone?" Karen said, "I guess I need to think about that." We got word there that the cancer was terminal, and on the way home I was in the man shack swamp, and there are no exits there. It's just long stretch to the swamplands of southeast Louisiana. And I could see a black hearse in the rearview mirror way back behind me. And I tried to speed up. There are no exits there. And that Hearth had to be driving at least 85 past us. And Karen said, "I wonder if he's coming to get me." I want to talk to you this evening about a passage of scripture in the book of Philippians. Philippi was a Roman colony inside Greece. Look at a map, you'll see Spain, France, Italy, Greece, Africa to the south, separated by the Mediterranean Sea, and to the east, of course, is Asia. The church at Philippi, you remember back in the book of Acts, where Paul, the Apostle Paul, who is the author of this epistle, a very very prominent character in Scripture. I love reading about the Apostle Paul, and from his conversion on the road to Damascus to everything that's written about him in Scripture. He said in this chapter in the book of Philippians that he was of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrew, touching the law of Pharisee. Very zealous both ways, before the conversion on the road to Damascus, and afterwards he became very zealous for the things of God and gave his life in service to our holy God. This is an epistle. This is one of the epistles written from in prison, along with, I think, Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon. The Philippi, you remember in the book of Acts, he had an account with Lydia. You go back and read that. He had a camp with the Philippian jailer. We sing a song in our area of the country quite often. It is there here, a trembling jailer, seeking peace and filled with fears. Is there here a weeping Mary, pouring forth a flood of tears? These epistles that were written, that came from, is a message or a letter, is what it means, but. The letters will always be encouraging. There are 27 books of the Bible, the New Testament, 21 are epistles, 13 written by the Apostle Paul, at least 13. I don't know about the book of Hebrews for sure, about the authorship of that, but he had some good experiences in Philippi. But now he's in jail and is writing back to the church at Philippi. And if you read the book of Philippians, you'll find a lot of encouragement. That's what these epistles were. They were correctional in some way. They were instructional, coming from someone in authority, someone that had that was revered as a leader or a teacher of God's word. And of course, we know that the word of this prophecy came not by the will of man, but as holy men of old spake, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. But in the book of Philippians, we'll read some of the great instruction we find here are things like, the one that probably comes to mind the most, that I hear the most, is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Number of the others, he said in one place in the book of Philippians that our citizenship, he said our conversation, which a Greek translation, a Greek word there uses, our citizenship is in heaven. He says in one place there that I myself have not apprehended. I count myself not to have apprehended. In other words, I hadn't figured it all out. But this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forward to those things that are before, I press toward the mark of the prize for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And also in this passage of scripture in the book of Philippians, it says this: be careful for nothing. Some of the new translations of the Bible says be anxious for nothing. It's a difficult thing for me not to be anxious. Sometimes I have some things in my life that are very precious to me. Brother James mentioned my children. I can't help but be anxious sometimes for this world. As a matter of fact, in the book of Philippians, he referred to them as living in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, of which they shine as lights in the world. This evening, as I look at this computer monitor, I see a lot of lights in this world from coast to coast. And I thank God for your fellowship. I One thing that's been on my mind very much, and I mentioned it here on here, one thing I've tried to pray for very fervently in recent months, is being the middle of next month, we will gather together at New Bethel Church in Tylertown for the Amen Association. And Elder Ricky Myers will be there to be the moderator. And we'll have a unanimous vote to get rid of the terms East and West and become Amen Association once again. I'm embarrassed to say that I haven't been praying for the most important thing related to that, that the Holy Spirit would meet with us there at New Bethel next month. I know a lot of you have on your agenda, your itinerary to come and worship with us. And some I'll be seeing in person for the first time. And I very much look forward to it. As we read, you know, and other things in book of Philippians real quickly. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honest, whatsoever is just, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is of a good report, think on these things. He says in this chapter, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We know that's not eternal salvation. We don't have to work it out. He already told us in the chapter that our citizenship, our conversation is in heaven. So he's talking about our timely salvation, to work it out with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Says there in the book of Philippians, do all things without murmuring and disputings. We don't need to complain. We don't need to argue about things. As much as it within us, let's live peaceable with all men, especially those of the household of faith. But we find in the book of Philippians, it begins like this. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. I kind of like the way that's written. Says with the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I was thinking about today about some of you. I think Brother Roddy Louder met somebody this evening. I believe the first time I met him was at Oak Grove Church down here at the Amen Association one year. And since that time, it's been such a dear brother I esteem highly for the gospel's sake. As we continue reading in the book of Philippians, I want you to turn with me over to chapter 2 and beginning about verse 19. It says this, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him that is a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I said him therefore the more carefully, that when we see him again, when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding this his life to supply your lack of service toward me. It says here the Epaphroditus, and you know, so there's a lot of characters in the Bible whose name was changed. Many of them was changed by God the Father. Some by, like Jacob, was changed to Israel. Jesus Christ changed Simon's name to Peter. But here's the name that needed to be changed. Epaphroditus, as you study this word, the meaning of this name, it means belonging to Aphrodite. You remember that Philippi was in the middle of Greece, although the Roman colony in Greece. So it had Roman and God and Greek influence. Remember the Greek goddess of love and lust and fertility and passion was a lady by the name of Aphrodite. And then her Roman counterpart was Venus. So this man's name meant belonging to Aphrodite. Now think back, Brother Steve Woods and I've had this conversation before. There were three Hebrew boys back in the Old Testament that had names. You know, a lot of people refer to them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't call them that. There's no doubt in my mind they cringed every time they heard those names, but they were given those names. Their real names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. If you go back and look at the meaning of these, Shadrach means decree of the moon god, where Hananiah's real name means gift of God. You see the difference. Hananiah means gift of God. Shadrach means decree of the moon god. Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael. His name meant who is like God? ? Not meaning he was like God, but who is like God? There's none like God. They changed his name to Meshach, who is like Aku, that moon god that we referred to as in Shadrach. And then Azariah meant help by God, capital G. They changed his name to Abednego, which meant servant of Nebo, who was the god of the sun and of light, in Babylon. These were fictitious gods. You see how they cringe, but you go back and read that, you'll find that Ashpenaz changed those names, and Ashpenaz was the prince of the eunuchs of Nebuchadnezzar, and his name meant horse's nose. So, you know, if my name meant horse's nose, I'd probably want you to have a bad name as well. But, you know, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1 says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. But Epaphroditus was a servant. He didn't belong to Aphrodite. There's no way you could convince me that. He belonged to the God of the heavens, the one true and living God. And he waited upon the Apostle Paul. You know, he said he was nigh to death. Prince, for several weeks on this Zoom service, we've been asking for prayer for Brother Ricky Myers. Medically speaking, he was days, if not hours, from death. But because of the prayers of the saints, my brother walked 275 feet today. He rolled in a wheelchair in Antioch Church Sunday morning and from the wheelchair preached the unsearchable riches of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Friends, God is able. Paul said if Epaphroditus would have died, I would have had sorrow upon sorrow. I'm in house arrest in Rome, and my dear friend Epaphroditus would have passed away. He would have had sorrow upon sorrow. You know, there's another place in Scripture. Over in the book of Acts, we find an account. We'll talk about this for a few minutes. I mentioned before that he said in this passage I just turned from Philippians, he said, I will come shortly. You remember in 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes to a young brother Timothy and tells him this. He said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Read God's word. Encourage God's people. Pay attention to doctrine. And he that worships me must worship in spirit and in truth. Friends, I tell you, just as the people at Philippi, that Paul referred to them as in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, when you shine as lights in the world. I can't emphasize enough how I look forward to those of you who plan to attend our association next month. We see you as lights in the world. We can't. I can't wait to embrace you and see you again. And like I said, we're gonna change our. We're gonna add another phase to our prayer. Not just that Brother Ricky will be there as moderator, and that we'll reunite as one association being split back in somewhere after World War II. But the Holy Spirit will be there, as He's done in times past, that we may sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus one more time. But over in the book of Acts in chapter 26 and 27, we'll find a passage of scripture over there where Paul is been arraigned. He is scheduled to go before Caesar, and he is going there by ship or by boat. Now, he's a minister of the gospel, and what most Bible historians tell us was a short, squat, stocky built fellow. He had a thorn in the flesh to buffet him, and I particularly think that thorn in the flesh was the vivid recollection of the stoning of righteous Stephen. But it could have been several things. But you know, what did Paul say? What did Paul tell the church at Philippi? Forget those things in the past and look forward to the things that are before. We haven't received the best yet. Brother David Montgomery says the best is yet to come. It's coming one day, because God promised some things to us, and He cannot lie. My daddy used to preach very much in this area of this country and travel a good bit. And I've heard him say many times, you know why I know the Lord's coming back? Because He promised that He would, and He cannot lie. He said, I go away. If I go away, I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I shall come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But anyway, Paul went to the captain of the ship and said, I don't think we need to set sail yet. I think that this voyage will result in damage to the ship and damage hurt to our lives as well. And he said that the captain listened to the owner of the ship, and they set sail anyway. And for a little while, as they set sail around the island of Crete, the Bible says the south wind blew softly. You know, sometimes the south wind comes. But then they got into a tempestuous sea, a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And again, there's some more humor, a little bit of humor in that. I've got to be careful finding humor in, I guess. But he said they bear up into this wind, and they were powerless to control the ship. And they said, we let her drive. You think, yeah, that tempestuous wind began to drive them off course. And for 14 days, I think it was, the sun and the stars did not appear. And Paul said all hope was lost that they would be saved. Eternal salvation? No, not, you never would convince me of that. Later, Paul, the Lord spoke to Paul again, and he went before those captains of the ship and those that were sailing on the ship and told them that be of good cheer, for we're going to be saved. That was good news, I'm sure, to those on board. But it didn't come easy. You know, the ship broke apart, and there were 276 souls on board that ship. And some swam to the shore. Others floated on broken boards or broken pieces of the ship. But he had told them, when he said, be of good cheer, he said, we're going to be cast onto a certain island. I'm like Elder Ricky Harker. I like the certain things of the Bible. You know, sometimes in the Bible, you'll find a certain man, a certain poor widow, a certain disciple, a certain water, a certain place. This is a certain island. You'll keep continuing reading. You'll finally enter into a certain creek before they reach shore. But the island was the island of Melita. It says in scripture, which is the island of Malta in the Mediterranean Sea. And if we turn there and read, find my place real quickly. Chapter 28 of the book of Acts says, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed me no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And we live in a cold, dark world. We live in a crooked and perverse generation. A crooked and perverse nation, I think it says over there in the book of Philippians. But there are lights in this world. They built a fire and received them because of the present rain and the cold. You see the hospitality in this? We aren't going to literally build you a fire, I don't think, when you come this way. Matter of fact, we're under a burn ban, and we pray the Lord sends rain soon. But I trust those of the Amen Association are going to be very hospitable to you. We want you to come back. That's what Paul told Philippi. He said, I'm going to send Epaphroditus back to you. He brought the care package you sent to me, and I appreciate it graciously. When he comes back, you receive him honorably and graciously. I'm going to send Timothy to you, and I plan to come shortly. You know, as Paul was there, it said when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, I like that. You know, what we want you to do when you come to our association or any of our annual meetings here, we want you to feel at home. We don't expect you to do it, but if you want to take the garbage bag out of the can, if it's full, you can do so. You can put ice in the glasses. You can. We want you to be at home when you come among us. Brother Travis, I can't tell you how I look forward to this Amen Association this year. It's been some present rain and cold, not literally, but figuratively, spiritually. We need each other. You know, Paul got bit by a snake on this occasion and shook it off into the fire, and they thought he was going to die, but he didn't even show any effects from it. And they began to think he was a god, lowercase g god. There is but one God. Paul knew that. We all know that. You know, Herod died because he didn't give glory to God. When he made a great speech, he said, this man is the voice of a god. And he failed to give God the honor. And he fell dead. But on this island is a man by the name of Publius, who was a chief. Maybe Publius, perhaps. But his father was sick. And the Apostle Paul went to him and healed him. Many others on the island that had diseases came to him and were healed. When they got ready to leave. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. You know, hospitality is a two-way street. I've been to many church meetings in distant places, and this year the Florida Fellowship meeting. I want to go back next year. It was so good this year, I want to go back next year. I keep hearing about the Rich Mountain Association. I've been there before, but I didn't go this year. I've told a few people the only bad thing about the Rich Mountain Association this year was I wasn't there. Not to make the meeting better, for me to reap the benefits, the joy of sitting at the feet of Jesus and being engulfed with the Holy Spirit. That's why people coming from California and North Carolina and other places in between to Tylertown, Mississippi. What's in Tylertown? There's no tourist attractions there. But I trust what will be there is spiritual blessings. Brother Doug, it's been a good meeting all my life. But I've never been to a mid-association gathering that wasn't East or West, or at least some to be, even though we didn't have those names for very long, maybe 20 years. But even before that, it was still the Amen Association, but they were meeting in two different buildings. There's those things in the past. God is to get all praise, honor, and glory. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Although in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation, you shine as lights in the world. And Sister Wanda, I just encourage you to continue to let your light shine before men, that others will see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. I trust that this has been any benefit to you. You give God all praise, honor, and glory. Cast a manner of charity over my imperfections. But know this, I love you for Christ's sake. those of you who will come to the event, we pray for traveling grace. Brother Travis, we pray for traveling grace to North Carolina as you drift a little further east before you come back our way. But those of you who can attend, we trust that you'll pray for our meeting and you will try to commit to come visit with us at some point in the not-so-distant future. We love you for Christ's sake, and we look forward to the day of the resurrection when we're reunited and united for eternity. We'll be awakened as likeness and are satisfied. Brother James, take charge. May God bless you.